It's not in the bulletin, but just to let you know, there will be a second collection taken up this evening for a very good cause. We're going to send it off to the Diocese of Lafayette for the education of our seminarians, and have more good news about that at the end of Mass. In the book of the prophet Hosea, it is written, "Thus says the Lord, in their affliction they shall look for me. They say, come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has rent, but he who will heal us. He has struck us, but he will bind us. He will bind our wounds and will revive us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up to live in his presence. Come, let us return to the Lord." While this prophecy has to do with the sufferings of the people of Israel, it was understood that whatever Israel underwent was always a prefigurement of what was going to happen to the Messiah, the Savior who would come. And we all know that it was for our sake, for yours and mine, that Jesus was obedient, that he accepted even death and persecution and everything that went with it, enduring all things on the cross. We also know and believe the cornerstone of the Christian faith, that God the Father raised him from the dead and gave him the name that is above all other names. That name is Savior. Christ our God, our Savior from sin and its consequence, death, by his own death and resurrection. For that and for that alone, we say with the prophet Hosea, come, let us return to the Lord. When love of God and desire for him have taken full possession of our souls, then there is no longer any room for love of those things that are not of God. Our wayward passions, our inordinate desires, our preoccupation for and with sin. When the love of God fully possesses us, there's room for none of these things. There's not even room for death. Not even death. You and I often say that we love God, but that can only be entirely true whenever all of our movements of body, mind, and soul, are directed solely toward God. And through all things, the soul does nothing but seek God and seek God alone. We can truly say that we love God whenever we find ourselves living as people free from sin, free from death, and living in the resurrection. If a soul seeks for God, imagine how much more God seeks out that soul. Consider that. If you're seeking for God, how much more so is God, out of his love, seeking for you? We go back to that very first Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection, and here you have Mary Magdalene, faithful disciple, weeping at the tomb. She comes to Christ's tomb seeking hope in faith for her beloved Lord. And what happens? He comes right there to her. He appears to her, calling her by name. Mary seeks only the Lord. Only the Lord. She desires him and him alone. Nothing else for Mary matters. In that moment of greatest intimacy, there is also, as when one sees the living Christ in Holy Communion, the most profound sense of reverence for Christ's supreme majesty as she cries out, "My Lord and my Master." The same time that Christ comes to us intimately in the sacraments, at the same time we with Mary cry out, "My Lord, my God, my Master." Dear brothers and sisters, may we give thanks, profound thanks, to God for the great gift of life bestowed upon us by him who is love, the God of love. May our souls rejoice that the Lord finds his delight in us, his people. And may nothing in this world ever cause us to cease seeking to delight and be delighted in him, in Christ our risen Lord. Rejoice, Christian, rejoice in the greatness of your Savior and your God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia.